Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody probably wondering, like, why are we back? Like, why did we take some time off? So what is that about? You there, Gab? Uh-oh, did I just lose her again? Oh, Lord, I keep losing Gabby. I don't know what's happening. Well, while we wait for Gabby to join back on, for those of you who do not know who we are, like, again, I said we are SOS 1040 Plus. I am the president, Gabrielle is the vice president, and Kalina recently joined us. So if you get any strange requests from Kalina, she's real, and she really is going to follow up about IDs and all the other missing things that people never seem to remember to give to us. All right, you there, Gabby? Oh, I don't know where she went. Okay, so tonight, we are talking about some of the major things that we've seen that happened after this new tax reform rolled out, and want to make sure that you guys have an opportunity to call in or inbox us with any questions. Let's see here. Gab, you there? I can hear somebody moving around. I don't know how I lost her. Britt, is that you? Brittany? Okay. No understanding. All right, guys. So anyway, if you have not had a chance to update your W-4, which affects your paycheck, which affects your tax refund, please do that immediately. I have a link up here. If you're following us on Facebook with the link to click on, you just need to have your most recent pay stub near you when you get it. Get on the site, and it'll actually walk you through what exemptions and number you should have. So make sure you take a look at that. All right, so what are we talking about tonight? Just a couple of different things Gabby and I wanted to go over. The first one is the paycheck withholding. The second is extensions. We'll talk extensively about what they are, what they do for you, what they actually mean. We get the question a lot, what happens if I don't file? So we'll talk a little bit about that. The 401k or retirement withdrawals, like how does it affect your actual tax return? The best my friend said myths and stories that we have, we always get some really good ones. And then the top tax myths. So Gabby and I are going to go over those. We have some good ones this year, telling you the truth. So before we get started, okay, let me see. Okay, before we get started, Kalina, so this is your first year back after a long time.
Yeah.
So what was the first thing that was kind of like, what in the world? What did you notice that just kind of, besides getting receipts for things that have actually nothing to do with taxes?
That's correct.
Yeah, so Kalina's the one, by the way, guys, that if you send in all the receipts, she's the one that has to total them all up, so she loves y'all, right?
That was real sarcastic.
Yeah, so. Slightly sarcastic.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Gab, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, yeah, Kalina's talking a little about her first year, you know, back, because she kind of came and went for a while, and adding up receipts that have nothing to do with taxes at all.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one you got?
Well, unfortunately you're going to get that even after having several conversations with people. All they know is that they got it to you, and if it's useful, they want you to use it. But if not, you just got to put it to the side.
Yeah, I think the best one I ever got was for a wedding dress. And I was like, well, do you make wedding dresses? I'm like, no, we just got married. I'm like, well, what does that have to do with your taxes? Like, nothing. I'm like, okay. All right, so we'll go over some of those. So the first one, extensions. People ask us constantly to put in extensions, and we kind of wanted to go over what an extension actually meant and what it actually does for you. So first of all, if you're an individual tax filer, your tax return is due April 15th of the next year, right? So if you know that you cannot file or pay by that day, pay in full by that day, we highly recommend that you do an extension. So if you know that you're getting a refund, because historically you've always got refunds, you've kind of done your return, you're just not ready to file it. An extension is still helpful because if you live in Ohio where we have city taxes, you actually can get the late fee waived from the city if you do an extension. If you don't have an extension, the city could actually fine you for having done your city return late. So we still recommend them. But an extension is not an extension to pay. It's only an extension to file. So what does that mean? Again, if you know you've done your return or you always owe, the extension is not going to tell the IRS that you have until October to actually owe. No, it's not at all. You still, your interest, your penalties, everything still accrues as of April 15th, or actually technically April 16th at midnight, plus 1 second. So you need to make sure that if you are going to do an extension, you do an estimate of what you think you owe, and you can actually include that payment with your extension so that you don't get hit with failure to file, failure to pay, all those kinds of things that can actually add up really quickly. Any input there, Gab?
To piggyback off of that with the owing part, also remember, if you normally owe large lump sums of money each year, you're going to be hit with a fee because you should technically be paying quarterly taxes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing
this year, where people not understanding why they had to pay extra because you're going to owe a large amount.
Right. And so we have people that will call us and they know, say you're self-employed and you owe, like she said, every single year. Well, it's really, really important that you get your stuff done sooner or later. So what we hear all the time, which really drives us bananas, is if you owe every year, why do you wait till the last year, last minute to do the return? So your taxes are still due April 15th. Even if you come in on February 1st and go, hey, Keisha, Gabby, I want to get them done now so I have an idea what I owe by April 15th. Then you can make a plan, at least, get a deposit ready, something. But if you wait till April 14th, there's not much you can do unless you've been sitting on that money, So it's important to get it to come in and start getting them done or started as soon as possible. That's probably my biggest thing that I will say. Because people are notorious for waiting to the last minute and it's too late. Okay. So what happens if I don't file? So if you don't file and you are due a refund, the IRS actually gives you 3 years to file and claim that refund. So your tax return is due for a refund 3 years from the due date or extension. If you wait one day past that, I don't care if your refund was $80,000, they're not giving it to you. So we have seen people who thought, oh, I owe, so I'm not going to do my taxes. And then they come in and they do 3-4 years at a time and they forfeit refunds because they waited too late. So don't do that. You got any horror stories, Gab?
I do have a question. Is there a way to not owe state when you work in multiple states? What is the best scenario for people who work in multiple states who have to file multiple state returns? What can they do to not owe every tax season?
So I would say the biggest recommendation is make sure you talk to your employer because depending on what state you live in and what state you're working in, you could have what's called reciprocity, which is basically where states kind of have agreements with each other to not withhold or withhold, and money counts different ways. It's really important. But if you live somewhere like in Florida where you don't have state tax, and then you go work somewhere, say Georgia, that does, it's important that you make sure that your employer, whoever's in the payroll department, knows that. Because, believe it or not, there are people that the payroll department, they have maybe thousands of employees, and they don't know how to keep up with all that stuff. So just make sure if you are not sure, you contact the state you live in and the state that you work in and say, hey, I'm going to be working in your state. What should I do? Should I have withholdings? Am I going to have to do a tax return? It just depends on the home state and the state that you're filing in.
Okay, I think that covers that. Okay, hold on. I had another question. Okay. Give me 1 second. They're in my Facebook inbox.
No problem.
Oh, okay. What is the purpose of putting a business in my child's name versus my name? I guess I would kind of need more info on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's like a really open-ended question. Like, you need a lot more information.
Not to put it in your name because you owe something or you have some type of debt, or is it like...
You're trying to hide money?
Oh, it's actually a business they opened up for their child.
Oh, okay.
It's a kid's clothing line.
Oh, that's adorable. So, So, I guess the question would be, we would still need more information because we need to know how old the kid was. Okay. Yeah. What kind of other income does the kid have? Mm-hmm. Because just because it's a kid doesn't mean they don't have to tax return.
It is a younger teenager, and they do not work.
Okay. My only thing would it'd be more on the legal side, and I wish we had our attorney on here so she could jump on, but I would be a little concerned about entering into contracts and things like that with a minor. I don't know if
it was 18. How would that work?
That's a good question. Billy, if you're listening.
Okay.
Is Billy listening?
She's on. I'm
going
to tell her to call in.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great because that would be a great – I don't know how that would affect things. On the other – what am I not seeing then? Mm-hmm. Are you on Gabby's live?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Okay, so the questions are coming over there. Okay, while we're doing that, while Gabby's getting those questions, another one that I have had at least 3 or 4 people tell me this year is why do I have to include my 401k withdrawal when I already paid my taxes on that. Mm-hmm. They withheld all the taxes out, so I don't need to do anything else with that. And so that is a question, and that's an issue that we see consistently every single year. And unfortunately, what happens is, usually works like this. So, Kalina, you want to take $10,000 out of your 401k. You fill out the paperwork, turn in HR. Mm-hmm. Somebody at HR has to sign off on something, and then wherever your 401k funds are withheld or held at, MassMutual, UBS, whoever, they send you a check. It is not up to them to tell you how much to withhold, if you should, because they don't know your situation. They're not allowed to give you that information, that advice. So it's important that you are going to take especially a large sum of money out and you're still working. I cannot emphasize that enough. If you're still working and you take a chunk of money out, you need to call your tax preparer. If you have a good tax preparer, they should be able to run you a scenario and let you know how that money is going to affect your overall taxes. And the reason it's important is let's say you have $50,000 in regular W-2 income, and then you go snatch another $25,000 out because you want to buy your kid a car, pay for a wedding, I don't know, go to Jamaica. I don't know, okay? Your income is now $75,000. So, yeah, you might have had that 20% withheld for out of your 401k, but that's the same as when you have the withholdings coming out of your regular paycheck. When you take all that income and put it together, you could end up in a different tax bracket, and now all the income is subject to it, and you're under 59.5. You're going to get a 10% penalty, mm-hmm. depending on what kind of withdrawal you did and where the funds came from. So I cannot emphasize enough to make sure you talk to your tax preparer or your financial planner or somebody before you take a chunk of money out, because it's going to affect you.
Yes, and I have a tax bracket breakdown. It shows you with whether you're single or married. It shows you what the total number and what the percentage should be. You should be paying in taxes overall on that entire.
Love it. And don't forget state. If you are in a state that has if you're in a taxing state, so Ohio, not Florida, one of the other awesome ones that you don't get state tax. Don't forget it could be subject to state tax, too, depending on what the withdrawal was and all kinds of different things. So, again, please talk to your tax preparer before you go taking a ton of money out, okay? We have people coming here. You going to post that online?
We got Billy on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and add her.
Oh, awesome. Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy. Just so everyone knows, Miss Billy Copeland is our favorite all around, knows everything about law attorney. I will let her introduce herself.
That's a big shoe to fill. I don't know everything, but I like to find out stuff. So
she loves
and get
challenge.
You in the right
That's
direction
awesome.
If I don't. I do love a challenge.
Yes.
Definitely. How's everybody tonight?
Awesome. I'm so glad you could jump on. So the question, I don't know if Gabby set you up a little bit. First of all, introduce yourself. Let everybody know who you are and how they can reach you.
So I'm Billy Copeland King, and my phone number is 330-940-9914. I'm an attorney. I help people with business issues, financial issues, bankruptcy, personal injury, family law, and a number of other things, and I love what I do.
So good at it, too. And she has patience, y'all, because you know how, like, some of us have endless questions. She has.
I do.
Okay. So the question that was proposed, Billy, is, well, Gabby, go ahead and tell her.
Okay, Billy. So this is a scenario. Essentially, it's a children's clothing line. I guess the young lady is gonna. She wants to know would it be smarter to put it in her name or her son's name, because it's basically a business she's starting for him. But he is under 18, and no, he has no other income. I guess I don't understand what the pros or cons would be with him being under 18, putting the business in his name.
I think the biggest con is getting credit, because, you know, minors can disaffirm certain contracts that aren't related to necessities because they're minors. They lack the capacity to enter into a contract. However, I think there's more pros than cons. So, for example, putting the business into the child's name, establishing good business practices, establishing a business and a personal line of credit for the child is going to set them well on their way. And there's, I think, more advantages to putting the business in the child's name if they're working the business, right? And if it's truly their business. However, if you put it into your name, and you run into any kind of difficulties or you have a lawsuit filed against you, someone can come in and clean that business out if it's in your name. And it's going to be hard to prove that it's really the child's business. And then I think it's just good for the child to teach the child entrepreneurship, to put it into their name, and to teach them to keep a P&L, a profit and loss, and a balance statement, and all the important, you know, financial statements that you keep, and you can introduce them to the financial statements as they're age appropriate, because we know it's not so much, you know, that you're good at the craft and the art of whatever it is that you do, but if you're good at making a profit and selling that art and craft or service to the public, that's what makes you a good business person, right?
That is correct.
I think it's great. I love to see young entrepreneurs when kids have their little plans. I remember my daughter's friend when they were 16 and she came to me and she said, Miss Keisha, I want to start a business. I said, oh, what did you invent? Or, you know, what are you doing? And she said, I invented a new type of battery or something. And I was like, wow. I mean, that's phenomenal. And she was, her concern was, you know, about entering into, you know, contracts and going for patents and things like that. So is there any issue at all? Should they just have like a person, a guardian or an attorney that can sign on their behalf?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't know this, but my family is heavily into the entertainment business. And when I say heavy, I mean heavy. So it's mainly the McCrary family on the East Coast, and most notably, my little cousin, J.D. McCrary, is the guy who was on Little Big Shots, the guy who sang Michael Jackson. He dances. He sang the intro to a Childish Gambino song. He also plays in that movie Little that just came out. He just dropped an EP this weekend, and it's his first album. I mean, this kid is big. He's huge. He works for Tyler Perry. He's all over the place. And he makes a lot of money. And so he has, you know, his the outside, the front, the public-facing thing that he does. But behind the scenes, he's a business. He is his brand. And so with the entertainment industry, there's certain regulations that the parents have to meet. They have to have trust accounts and put that money. They can expend a certain amount, but they have to put another amount into trust that's for the children to use later, and it can't be touched. There's a big accounting system for that money that's put into trust, and it's also regulated by the courts too as well. And so I think it's very important for us to encourage our children's creativity and their entrepreneurship, but to also get the financials right too as well. We should never use our children's money as our own personal money, our own personal account, and we should teach them to be good stewards by the adults being good stewards too. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So why do we? I was going to ask, why do we hear these horror stories of like these child stars that, you know, made tons of money and their parents, took it all? You know, how was that, just because of before there was regulated, or how did that happen?
Yeah, some of that was before regulations, and then you know, certain unions came in like SAG, and they started lobbying for, you know, new rules so that the children actually had some of the fruits of their labor when they grew older, because, you know, the parents can expense some of the money and charge the children a management fee for managing, you know, their children's work life and their career and their business, whatever, you know, they're doing. But however, some parents went too far and dipping into the children's funds, it exceeded, you know, an amount that was necessary to meet a reasonable salary or reasonable expenses for the parents and supporting the children. And so the laws came into place to make sure that the children, they were actually being run like a business, and that the parents didn't have unfettered access to the children's funds just because they were their children, right?
Right, taking advantage of them.
Yeah, because we don't want that to happen.
No, my daughter makes bracelets. She has a business. It's called Charm by Jay, and she was 10 years old when she started it, and she's 11 now, and she makes mainly black fraternity and sorority charm bracelets, and she does, you know, a pretty decent business. She gets orders in, and her mom helps her manage the orders. She helps her with her customer service, and my granddaughter makes the bracelets. Now, my daughter doesn't take anything from the business, although she would be entitled to do that, but because, you know, my granddaughter just started this business, and as you know, all businesses have a period of time before they're making a profit, my granddaughter takes all of the excess as profit right now over her expenses.
Sounds like she's got a good family around. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that is helpful, you know, to make sure she keeps that money in for her future. You know, that's fantastic.
Yes, and we got her a credit card in her name and her business name, and she uses it to purchase her supplies. And if it's, you know, used in the correct manner, she's going to have a good established credit when she becomes an adult.
That's awesome.
It's funny.
Billy, I have another caller I need to bring on, but I need you to keep on the line for me. I'm going to throw you back in the queue, but I just want to know if there are any legal ramifications to what this caller is about to discuss.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Okay, caller, are you on the line?
I am. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. I would like to stay anonymous if we can do that.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
I can't share the story and be anonymous. So, hi, I'm Wayne's Views, everybody. I'm off of Ear Candy Radio as well. So, first, how y'all doing tonight?
How are you doing?
I'm well. I can't complain. I could be better. I could be worse, but I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
So, more recently, I had an incident when this was the first time that I was able to file taxes under my new job, Ear Candy Radio, and along with myself, my own brand, Wayne's Views. So I trusted my tax preparer to make it right. You know, this is the first time I did it. I'm trusting you to just do what needs to be right for me to get an income off of the radio and an income off of my own brand. And it all looked good, and I waited. I didn't sign anything physically. Everything was done via FaceTime, numbers. And then usually anytime I've done taxes, I would get like a packet of, I forget what they call it, but I would get a thick packet back after everything is done, which will go over, you know, my numbers and things like that. And I was asking for that. And it took a month and a half before I got it back. And when I got it back, there were like a lot of holes, 000, this, that, and third, and you made this much off of that. And according to how this process was ran, each document that's filed for per person is charged for business taxes. This is a business. Wayne's Views is a business. Ear Candy is a business. I was charged $500 per business, pretty much, to be filed for each business that I filed. Now, if I would have had Ear Candy, if I would have had Wayne's Views, and, say, McDonald's was mine, I would have filed for those three different businesses. I would have charged $500 for each business. And $1,000 was taken out of my taxes. $1,000 was taken out of my taxes just for filing through this person. And I didn't go back. I didn't discuss it. I expressed my concern on Facebook, you know, as respectful as I could without tarnishing anybody's character or anything like that. And I just left it alone. I didn't even, you know who to go after, who to speak with, and I didn't have the time to do it. I just know it's just me against the IRS, so I just didn't want to even put up the fight. But I just knew that next year I won't go there and I won't refer anyone to that person for those particular services. Like, and it doesn't have to be anything on a, you know, oh, I hate you, not doing business with you type thing, because, you know, I can speak to you and just not do business with you. But yeah, that was my situation, and I'm glad that I'm here and we're speaking about this. And I would like to know, reiterate the question that Gabby asked, is there anything illegal in my situation that I just shared?
Okay, this is Keisha. It's Wayne, right?
Yes.
All right. So my first question is, you said you did not sign anything, correct?
That's correct. I didn't sign anything.
Okay. So did they ever give you your documents for you to review at all? And then, or is it kind of just like, you said you got some stuff, but then when you got the final one back, it wasn't what you had seen the first time?
Right. And I also, I forgot to mention this part, but I also had, they took out deductions for, I guess, child support. I've never been on child support. I do have kids, but never have been on child support. I called downtown and asked about it, and they were, like, yelling at me, like, dude, I just said you're not on child support. It says it right here in front of me. I don't know what else to tell you. So I'm calling around different states asking, like, do I got kids there? Because, like, why does it say that they're taking taxes out for child support and I'm having all these other deductions, but I don't see where, why, or how they're coming from?
Well, Wayne, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that child support line? Was it by your fees?
One more time.
So essentially when you said they took some out for child support, this was already in your packet. That's not something we know up front. It sounds like someone made that a line item for a fee and called it child support.
Huh.
Or, this is Keisha, or are you saying that, say you, were you supposed to get a refund at all, like after they did all this mess?
Yeah, I did. I still got some back.
Okay, so you were supposed to get a refund, but then the IRS or someone notified you that they took some of it out for child support. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was child support. Oh. It was, like, school, and it was something else. And I don't even have school debt or anything like that. Like, okay. I'm good all around the board for nothing to have been taken out.
Okay, so two things that I'll give you, and I'm going to post these on our Facebook. Gabby, you can copy them and post them to yours if you're live on either one of our pages. The first one is a link to how to actually file a complaint against a tax preparer. So the IRS does have a form that if someone filed and they didn't do, like we have what's called due diligence. So Gabby and I have to follow very strict rules because we can actually be penalized for not doing each of these things. The first one is we have to tell you what the fee is, but we can't submit a return to the IRS without your signature. If we do, we are actually in violation and can get a penalty for that. And if we do it consistently, we actually can lose the ability to electronically file people. So it's really important mm-hmm. that you take time and do this form and acknowledge what they did. Secondly, if you're saying that they added stuff to your tax return that you did not authorize or you did not have them do. So if they added a bunch of fake expenses and all kinds of things to get you this refund, it's very important, in my opinion, that you do this form as soon as possible because what will happen is they withheld that money and got paid. But if you get pulled for audit and you can't prove any of this stuff, then the IRS is going to basically come back after you for the additional refund that you got. So, you know, that's one. And then I'm going to also put a phone number in here that you can call to see. It's called the offset line. And you can actually dial this number, put your Social Security number in. It'll tell you exactly if you're in what's called the offset program. And the offset program is basically student loans, child support. There's a couple other entities, schools, public schools. If you owe debt to them, they're allowed to take part of your refund. But if you call this number, it'll actually tell you exactly who it is and what phone number to call to find out how much you owe. The IRS cannot help you with why you owe. They can only tell you you're in the system and that you owe X amount of dollars. They can't give you any more information than that. So I'll put this phone number in there. Gabby can copy it over.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I would like to keep you guys updated on this because I'm definitely going to do it.
Oh, yes, please. It's definitely going to be a process, Wayne. But it's a process worth going through because you don't want this to bite you later down the road.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's important, too, to understand that if you might, the other thing I would recommend is you do what's called request the identity PIN. So anytime a fraudulent preparer gets information or you think you're a victim of any type of fraud, you want to request an identity PIN, and I'll put that link on here, too. And so it's really cool because what happens is let's just say that preparer tries to turn around and use your stuff again next year. Well, the IRS is going to send you a 6-digit code that has to also be on your tax return. And if it's not there, they won't accept it. So that'll help protect you so that you don't end up with another situation next year. Because if they charge you this, you know, there's no telling what else they'll do next year. And unfortunately, preparers allowed to charge whatever they want as long as they don't base it off of your refund. So we're not allowed to charge a percentage of a refund, but we have known people to pay ridiculous amounts of money to people, unfortunately. Sure. They just don't know.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Yeah. It's terrible. But
that's very common.
I definitely appreciate you guys for setting me up for success. I do appreciate that one.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, no doubt. Y'all going to hear the next show. I'm going to let y'all know. Yep, I did it. Yep, the police coming. The IRS coming for them, too. All right, thanks, ladies. I'm going to go ahead and get some work done. Good luck on your show.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, and if Billy, if you want to jump in at all, I don't know if there's anything other legal that can be done for them. Is that considered a contract if you didn't sign? Do you know of anything special that can be done if a person files a return without your permission?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but if I were guessing, I would say that's fraud per se. And that you have to attest to the fact that you've reviewed the statement, even though it's been prepared by someone else, and by reviewing it and signing it, you're agreeing and to the truth of the matter. And so you have to have the opportunity to review that. But however, there's a legal concept called laches, and L-A-C-H-E-S, and that means you're sitting on your rights. And so if you see something like that, do not sit on your right, because the government may say, well, you were a part of it because you had the opportunity to correct it at a certain time, and you did not. And because you sat on your rights, really you were part of the problem. So don't sit on your rights.
I like that. So a lot of, and we see this a lot. Like, I'm dealing with a situation where a young lady had gone to somebody, and you know, for a couple years in a row, she didn't get her refund, and she didn't do anything about it. You know, so the IRS kind of feels like, well, if you went somewhere and filed your return and you didn't get it, you should have contacted us, or you should have done something. Or, you know, if you know that there's a Schedule C on here that says you own a barbershop and you've never picked up a brush in your life, you're part of the problem. So you can't blame it on a preparer. Sure. If you got that refund and you spent that money and you knew that was not your money because it was not your business. So people can try to blame the preparer up to a certain amount, and then the IRS is going to consider you to also be held responsible.
Yeah.
So we see this a lot with people that, you know, they go to fraudulent people because they want to try to reduce how much they owe or get back a bigger refund. They make up these fake daycares and barbershops and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then they go, well, I didn't know. No, the IRS will say, no, you signed it and you got that money and you spent it. So be careful.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Billy, thank you. Please, you know, stick around in case we have any more questions. We appreciate you being on the line.
Sure. Thank you. You guys have a good rest of the show.
Thank you, darling.
Thanks, Billy.
Bye-bye.
One of the questions we got was, how long should I keep my records? You know, as far as I believe they're talking about business records, but just records and periods. So what I did was I posted up here how long to keep records. Usually we tell people 3 years, but we do tell you that if you filed a loss, so if you have a business or something and you filed claimed a loss, you want to make sure you keep that stuff for 7 years. And the IRS can go back 7 years as well, I believe. So you want to make sure you're keeping that stuff, especially if you did not file. So if you, just to be clear, if you're self-employed, you need to file a return. Because one of the questions posed was, what if you didn't make a profit? It doesn't matter if you didn't make a profit. If you made money, revenue, gross sales, you're still required to file that return. Whether or not you made a profit is not the determining factor whether or not you should file a tax return. The IRS will not know you took a loss unless you report it. So it's very important that if you own a business, and this is, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but there is no 3-year magic grace period that says you don't have to file a return because you're getting a loss. That does not exist. That's on the fairy tale list. So if you're operating a business, you need to file your tax return. All right. Gabby.
Yes, ma'am.
What was your favorite My Friend Said this year? Or one of them?
Oh, my absolute favorite My Friend Said?
Yes.
I really didn't get a lot of friends said this year.
Well, I think my favorite, and we've yelled about this so many times in the office, is the words, but I have 3 kids.
Oh, okay. Now, if we're talking about, like, yes. Having 3 dependents does not automatically mean that you're going to get back a tax refund $10,000. That is not what that means. It's still based off of your income. So you can't bring in $3,500 the entire year and have 3 dependents and get $10,000 back. You can't get more than what you put in.
Yeah, I think that's my all-time favorite. We've actually, every year we have at least one person that leaves because they said, well, my refund is not big enough, and I have three kids. And so Gabby and I are actually going to get T-shirts made that say, but I have three kids, because we hear it so much. So just to recap real quick, earned income credit is a sliding scale. I know it's confusing because the commercials always say, you know, hey, do you have children and you earn less than $40,000? You can get $7,000. Okay. That's based on a specific amount of income, a filing status, and the number of kids. So having three children is not a magic, what was it, Willy Wonka's gold card to get you some magic amount of money. And like Gabby said, you're not going to get back more than you put in. And my personal opinion is if the government's giving you 40% plus, you know, a child tax credit, you should be happy. If you're walking away with 50% of what you earned, there's a lot of people that want to slap you because they're paying out 20% of what they earned. So be grateful for whatever it is that you get. But three kids is not a magic ride. All right. So now we're going to get into our tax myths. So these are kind of some of the big myths that Gabby and I kind of dealt with this year. People coming in, they're kind of like my friend said. It's just things that people kept telling us. So, Gabby, the first one is employee expenses.
Employee or self-employed?
Employee. I have a W-2. I clock in and out every day. Why am I not able to claim all my mileage and my union dues and my McDonald's stops and my coffee?
Unfortunately, this is why we expressed this so much last year, that last year was the last year to do that. So with the new tax law changes, there's no such thing as unreimbursed job expenses for anyone who is on a W-2 income. The only people that can write off things that have to do with their job is if you are now self-employed. If you are a W-2 employee, there is no such thing as unreimbursed job expenses. It doesn't matter if you're taking people places every day, you cannot claim that mileage. And if you're not getting paid mileage at work, then you need to go talk to someone there, because you should definitely be getting paid out mileage if you are driving constantly. No union dues, no clothing. It used to be paid, put your parking on there. Can't even do that anymore. That is completely gone.
So one of the things I told Gabby that I was told was that people, some preparers, we'll call them that. We're not going to call them tax professionals. We'll call them preparers, are telling people, oh, well, then they just go on a Schedule C. So you take all your expenses and put it on a Schedule C. Well, Schedule C is for people that own a business. You operate a business. So you cannot take unreimbursed employee expenses and slap them on a Schedule C. That is going to be probably the next biggest thing that the IRS starts auditing, because people are so upset that they cannot write off all the things that they used to do, their union dues, you know, like she said, driving staff around, all that kind of stuff. We can't help it. We didn't change it. We were not part of TCJA. They didn't call us. We didn't get to vote. Nothing. So just the FYI, we cannot help you.
No. Those are only for people who are self-employed. W-2 employees can no longer write off job expenses. Now, Keisha,
okay,
what about...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
What about the pets? So a couple people did ask why they couldn't claim their pets this year. Keisha, what was your answer to them?
You just can't. Unless you breed dogs or cats for a living, which then that would be a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to report the income as well. But Gabby did create a new awesome 1040 called the 1040 DOG. So we just cannot wait to see who actually tries to fill one out. But no, you cannot. I have two dogs, and I know they're expensive. They break legs. They cost a lot. But no, you cannot. It's just that simple. You cannot. So, Gabby, are you telling me that I have to pay tax on my illegal activity?
Yes, and here is the why. If you look at all the major cases where people were making money illegally, by whether it's drug dealing, gambling, dispensaries, growers, the time they got in jail was more than likely for the money they didn't pay towards taxes. It wasn't even so much of the crime they committed. So they got slapped with interest and penalties because they never paid taxes on the money. And yes, there is possible to pay taxes on your illegal income. That's
right.
The thing.
Just report it. That'd be one less thing they can come get you at. You don't have to call it crack sales. Just say, you know, pharmaceutical sales.
Other business.
You
know, it's other business. That's all it is. It's other business.
Yep. So this next one is pretty cool. Students did not have to pay taxes. I don't know where this started from, but let's just explain what a student is. A student can be anyone from kindergarten to PhD. So I'm not sure, but there are very strict rules, and they're very easily laid out, and I'll post them here in the Facebook comments, about the thresholds, the minimums of who has to file a tax return. So I will post that up, but just because you're a student does not mean you don't have to file taxes. If that's the case, I'm going to stay in school forever. I'm going to have like 6 degrees, 3 PhDs, if that's all it takes. So I'll pull that up right now. You want to go over the next one?
So our next one is low-income filers do not get audited. Anyone who files taxes can be audited. It does not matter your amount of income, your amount of expenses, if you're self-employed, if you're W-2, if you're retired. An audit can generate at any time for anyone. There is no particular rhyme or reason. It's just you've been audited. It doesn't matter if it's tax preparers or if you've been doing it yourself for 10 years and you normally use TurboTax and you use H&R Block Online instead. None of that matters. Those are all myths. Anyone can be audited at any time.
And just to be clear, too, that one thing that, because we hear this a lot, well, I didn't get audited, so I went to such and such, or such and such and such and such. So there is a such thing that the IRS does where if they think there's a fraudulent prepare, they say they know for a fact, they'll come in and they'll pull all the returns just to make sure that they don't have anything else going on. And the other thing is the difference between an audit and a review. Okay, a lot of people are not audited, they're reviewed. A review is when the IRS sends you a letter and says, hey, Keisha, you filed married joint. You listed two jobs, 3 kids, and a business. We want you to show us these kids are yours with birth certificates. All right, cool. Show us you lived at this residence. And there's some confirmations of payments to prove that, you know, you lived in this house. And show us your bank statements or something to show that you had this actual business. That's a review. An audit is what I'm currently doing for a client right now. When I drive to the IRS audits or auditor's office and I sit down and I bring all my stuff and she asks me 4,000 questions about the business, that's an audit. You can either have a field audit where they come out to your house or your place of business and they go through all your things and ask you to bring stuff to them and show them things, or you can have an audit at their office. But people use that word loosely, just like prepare.
Yes.
Or CPA. Yeah.
Accountants. Just to piggyback on that too, because I've a lot this year is people are being pulled for review to show that their dependents are dependent. I don't care what anyone tells you. The IRS will never tell you who claims your children. There's nobody to sue. All you have to do is prove that those children were your actual children and your dependent. So any type of dependent, as long as you have proof that that dependent is your dependent and somebody else claimed them, you just have to mail in your tax return and show proof that that's your dependent. You can't sue anybody, and the IRS is not going to tell you who claimed your child. It does not work like that.
It would be awesome if they did, but they just don't. You know, so, no, we can't find out. There is no special place to go. Your attorney can't find out. If you go to do your taxes and you're rejected because your kids have been claimed by somebody else, don't panic and go bananas. Just print the return and mail it in. Normally what happens is if you've gone somewhere and your income, your information was basically taken, like from a fraudulent prepare, there's all kinds of stuff on the dark web. So, you know, your kids' socials and stuff can be sold and bought very, very easily. So if you think, if you know that's happened, just print the return, mail it in, you'll still get it. You might get that letter she's talking about where you have to prove that they're your kids, but it's not the end of the world if they really are your kids and live in your house. It's not the end of the world.
Correct. And sometimes it's not even so much a fraudulent error. It could just be your ex-spouse, your children's father, your children's mother, and things have gone awry, and they just jumped the gun and filed before you. But you can't sue them for that. The IRS does not release their funds, or if they did release them, they'll try to recoup those funds, and they'll still send you your refund.
Right. And speaking on, to piggyback on the, if it was your ex-spouse, if you are like legally divorced and you have a court order that is supposed to be your year and they claim, you actually have to go back to the court that issued that order and say, hey, Johnny was not supposed to claim this year. I was, and this is what it did to my return. And then that judge will actually reprimand him. So not the IRS. So just keep that in mind if you do have a parenting or an agreement where who's supposed to file who's ever. IRS does not want it or see, they don't care. They're special forms to file with them. They don't care. They don't want to see your divorce decree. Okay.
No, that's not them. Okay, our next myth is married couples are required to file jointly.
Where did that come?
I have no idea. That is definitely not true. There are a lot of case scenarios where it's a better tax situation for them to file separate. So, Keisha, why don't you talk about the differences between MFJ and MFF.
Okay. So if you're married filing separate, you have to be careful because there are some credits that you automatically lose just because you're going to that filing status. And it's in my opinion, it's really stupid because they should just half whatever the maximum income is and just say you can't make more than this. But what happens is if you go to married separate, you lose it, like, say, for instance, the education credit. So if you have kids in college and you do married separate, you can't claim up to $2,500 credit for your kids being in school. You also lose the child care credit. So there's some different credits you have to be aware of. Normally what we see for people, the only reason that we do a married filing joint to separate comparison is on the state side. So there are a lot of times there's benefit to filing separately just because of your state. So if you are in this, like Ohio for one, you just kind of have to run a scenario and see. But nothing requires you to file with your spouse just because you're legally married. Just understand, too, if you do file married joint and there's a balance due, you are legally both liable for that balance. It doesn't matter if your husband worked and you did not, or the way around. If you're both on that return, you're both held responsible for that balance indefinitely until it's paid off.
Now, to piggyback off of that, let's say it's a couple where one of them has a past debt. The injured spouse form comes into play then. What does the injured spouse form do for that couple? It's not a current IRS debt where they filed and they're going to, oh, this spouse has a past debt.
Okay. So, again, the only time you're going to be able to do that injured spouse form is if you're married joint. So we have people call us and say, hey, I'm not filing with my husband and I need an injured spouse form. Well, you don't because you're not with your husband on the return. So if he's not on your return, there is no injured spouse form. But if it's in your benefit to file married jointly, so let's flip that situation. So let's just say the woman's the only one that worked. We see this a lot. Husband did not work at all, and he owes back child support. Well, the IRS does a refund proportion, I guess would be the word. They kind of allocate how much refund would have been to him and how much would be to her, and you'll get that portion back. What I tell people when I see it in the other way is, let's just say husband made all the income, wife made a little bit, but he owes back child support. Understand that injured spouse form is not going to keep them from taking the whole refund. So that is not some magic paper that says, hey, don't take my refund because I'm on a return with him. If all the income is his, then that means the refund is being generated by his income. They're going to take it. They're going to offset it and give it to whoever it is he owes. So please keep that in mind. We have people that get really upset about that. Well, I filed an injured spouse. It doesn't protect the whole refund, only the portion that would have gone had you not been together.
Got it. Okay, now we have retired individuals do not need to file tax returns. So in this scenario, this is probably one with 401k or retirement and probably also on Social Security. Now,
okay.
Why should they have to file if they're retired?
So we'll tackle these two together. So as far as retirement in, income, if it's on a 1099-R, which is really normally where your pensions are going to come, you have to file that return. Most of the time people have money withheld. So I tell people it's really important to file to make sure that you actually don't have a refund coming back. If your only income is Social Security, you have nothing else coming, you have no pension, you have no lottery winnings, you have nothing else except the Social Security. You didn't have anything withheld, you don't have to file a return. It is tax-free. So that next line is correct if your only income is Social Security. As soon as you throw in the 1099-R and you have the withdrawals or pensions or anything, you have to do the return. You have to include the Social Security and the retirement because up to 85% of your Social Security can become taxable based on your overall income. So that's another thing that people think, oh, I retired, I don't have to pay. Well, if you retired technically, it means you got a pension coming. You do got to file.
Okay, and then our next one is I can write off all of my medical expenses.
Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. And there's a wide gray area that people have created for themselves. First off of what a medical deduction is.
Right.
And then people don't know it has to be 7.5% of your income, over your income, correct?
And starting next tax season, it's 10%.
It's 10%. It was going to go to 10% next tax season. So what is a qualified medical expense, and do people ever actually hit that deduction?
We have a couple clients a year that actually hit it, and they're usually, unfortunately, like chronically ill. You know, say people with diabetes or some type of illness where it requires them to spend a lot of money out of pocket, then yes. But for most people, it's 7.5% of your income. So that right there, if you earn a decent wage, you know, let's say, for instance, you earn, let's say, $40,000. 7.5% is $3,000, okay? Well, that $3,000 does not include what you're paying for your medical premiums out of your paycheck, because that's already been pre-taxed. So it's pre-taxed. You already got the tax benefits. You don't get to count it twice. So if your only expenses are your medical premiums and then, let's say, $1,000 in co-pays, you're probably not going to make it. And then it's above the 7.5% or now 10%. So most people cannot get it. Does that stop them from bringing up their receipts, Gabby?
No, it does not.
It does not.
No, it does
not. So not a lot of people, we just don't know. But I'm posting a link from TurboTax of a really cool list of all the things that is a qualified medical expense. So there's some really good ones. Things you wouldn't have thought of. You know a hot tub is on here? Did you know that?
A hot tub? Well, if you have a problem, like back problems or something like that, that would make sense.
And your doctor, you have to get the letter. Yeah, so if you get the letter. Got to make sure you had to pay for it.
All right. And then for our next one, we have I will receive my refund if I am on IRS payment plan. Now, this one is tricky as well. Just because you are on a payment plan and you make your payments on time, if you are due a refund during tax season and you still have the IRS debt, no matter of the payment plan, they will still take it to cover that debt. So let's say you're calling on a payment plan for $4,500 and you're getting back $2,300 on your refund. That entire $2,300 going to go towards your balance. It does not matter if you're on a payment plan with them. If they see money come through that's owed to them, they will take it.
And I just posted some information too. One of the top questions is on the refund inquiries is, can I receive a tax refund if I'm currently making payments? No, it literally says no.
Nope.
So basically when you enter into an installment agreement, you're telling the IRS, hey, I'm going to pay you every month, and whenever I get a refund, take it and please apply it to my balance, okay? So the IRS has entered into that agreement with you. So, no, you cannot. I don't know why people would think that. This is how I guess I think of it. If you let somebody borrow, say, $500, and they did some work for you and it was $1,000, wouldn't you just deduct the $500? Like, I don't... You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you give them the whole $1,000 and they owe you $500? It doesn't make any sense. And that's how they look at it. I'm not going to give you money if you owe me money. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, That would be nice, though.
No, it wouldn't.
Now, they do have, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the offset, and there are some situations where if you're in a hardship, you can actually request your funds be given back to you if you're in a hardship. So a lot of people don't know that. If you owe student loans or something of that nature and you're homeless or you're facing eviction or foreclosure, you actually can fill out paperwork and IRS will actually give you part of that refund back. So if that's not the same as you're on a payment plan and you owe the IRS money. Those are two different things. But
yeah, definitely.
So I think the only other thing I want to say is the biggest thing that we did see this year comes from the tax reform. And one of the things that Gabby and I tried to stress over and over again last year to people when they were in the office is to do that paycheck checkup. And the reason is we've seen people whose income barely changed, but their refunds changed drastically. And that's because with the new tax tables, you know, the percentages are lower. Your employer actually would have withheld less throughout the year. So you would have seen more of your money in your actual paycheck. People don't believe us, but we actually have to pull them out and show them side by side. See, this is what you had withheld last year, and this is 17 versus 18. So if you're okay with the refund you got this year, fine. If you owed or you are very close to owing, please do that paycheck checkup. Like I said, all you need is your pay stub, and we'll ask you some questions about all your income sources and how often you get paid, but it's really, really important.
And don't forget, if you're in a state where city tax or state taxes are involved, also figure out what is going to be your best scenario for state, because I did see people who normally do not owe state.
That is correct. And most states
at
are
all.
Just a percentage. Yeah, a lot of the states are a percentage, and you can actually pull the tables and just make sure that you're at the right withholding number. So, you know, we'll do a whole nother show just about W-4s and how it affects your pay stub, because I think that is such a huge confusion for people. We have people that will call us and say, well, I put exempt all year, and they're not exempt because I needed more of my money. Okay, well, that's fine, but understand it's going to have some ramifications at tax time. You're either going to get very little back or you're going to owe. If you have multiple jobs, it's really, really important to do the W-4 checkup, because it'll ask you that question. So you might be having enough withheld with one job, but when you throw in that other job's income, you're over the income threshold. You're in a new tax bracket, and that can drastically affect you. It might kick you out of earned income credit, all kinds of stuff. So make sure that you're doing that W-4 paycheck checkup.
Okay, I'm just looking through to make sure I didn't miss any questions.
And one thing I would say is shout out to all our clients that use the online portal this year. This is our second year of using it, and we've probably seen a more than 200-300% usage of that. So if you are our client and you're not using online portal, please let Gabby or I know, and we'll make sure that you have an account. Really, it's easy. It's simple. You can access your documents, upload your documents. We can exchange things securely, because we do not email returns directly to you because of security. There's so much fraud right now in tax returns, so we do not email them.
Yep, and that was all of my questions. I think we covered everything.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so Kalina, you made it through your first year. You coming back?
Huh?
You coming back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, she's coming back.
Coming back like I never left.
All right, so we'll have to add her picture to the site. And if you've been on our website, please give us some feedback. We made some changes to it and hope it's user friendly. So if you have any suggestions or comments, please let us know.
And then we will be back next month, guys. As of right now, we are doing a 1 to 2 hour show monthly. So please send me your content. Let me know what you're really struggling with, what you have questions about. And don't forget, we have a lawyer on hand. We have a financial advisor. We have people involved in the insurance world as far as health, car, home. So don't forget about those things when you think of us. When we say Money Monday, we mean anything involving money. If we are not the go-to people, we already have those people. And we can't get your questions answered, but we need to know early on. it's just set to show up properly.
Right, because we don't pretend to know everything. That's why we make sure we keep experts around us. So thank you again to Billie Copeland King for coming on. She's always there to help and take questions and answer attorney stuff. So I posted her information in the comments. And you can also find her on our affiliates page on sos1040.com. So if you have any type of attorney issues or requests, please reach out to Ms. Copeland. We're hoping to get Mr. Perry on next month and talk about saving. And then we also for sure want to cover, now that summer's coming up, the FAFSA. So if you have any questions about financial aid, paying for college, anything like that, please let us know so we can get prepared and how to write people on the show.
Yes, and it's also time to talk about bankruptcy as well. People love to file bankruptcy after tax season, but there can be different results to doing that. So we definitely want to cover that with Billie soon as well.
Absolutely.
What you got?
No, I said I missed you. I haven't seen you in like 72 hours. So you guys have to understand, during tax season, we live here. We get slap happy. We eat here. We do everything. Mm-hmm. But so it's now that tax season is kind of winded down. It's kind of like, what do we do now? So just so people know, too, because I think this is another myth we should have added. April 15th is not the end of tax season. So
no, it's not.
We have probably 30 extensions we have to get through for people that waited.
Yeah.
So Colleen is actually working on stuff right now and adding receipts. So, no, tax season is not over. It just slows down and it changes because now we're working on the complicated people with a bunch of stuff. So if we don't answer you, we ain't ignoring you. We just working.
We're just working. We're working hard. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been great tonight. It's great bringing back Money Mondays. Again, please, you can inbox my personal page, inbox our SOS1040 Plus Facebook page. You have my number, personally text me.
I don't know what
Gabby
went, but
thank
you guys for joining us. We appreciate you. Please get us your questions. You can inbox us on Facebook. At SOS1040 Plus. We are on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and you can also leave in questions directly at our website, SOS1040.com. We appreciate you guys, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Good night.